more exciting bonus podcast content. My name is Paul Greatrix, and whilst on this podcast you'll usually find me in conversation with registrars and other higher education notables, I've got some other diversions to share. There will be some new podcasts along soon with me talking to others or asking creative sector types to dream up their imaginary university, but in the meantime I wanted to provide a bit of bonus diversion for you. In this short registrar log then, you can hear me going on a bit about regulation. Again. This time though, it's about the money-saving opportunities presented by cutting regulation. Let's cut regulation and save money. I wrote this personal view a while back and published it online, but I thought I'd share some of the highlights updated for you now. I spent many years in higher education administration dealing with daft overregulation and sometimes cutting it and sometimes creating new or indeed gold-plating existing processes. Believe me, I still feel guilty about some of the latter. I've come to the view over time that excessive regulation is both damaging and costly for the sector. When times are good, no one really worries about this kind of thing. But with the current financial challenges facing us all, the regulatory burden is a real issue. Given these significant financial challenges facing the sector and the limited prospects for additional financial support from government, universities and colleges have to look for ways to make more cash and save more money to invest in core activities and sustain our operations. Savings can be made then by reducing the excessive burden of regulation. In England, the bulk of unnecessary regulation is principally, but not exclusively, managed by the Office for Students. There are other burdensome regulatory activities at play too, though, including some self-imposed ones, which do also need to be considered. So some initial steps that I would take. Number one, I'd set aside the new OFS requirement, often called the B4 condition, for the retention of all assessed student work, or even an appropriate sample, for all of those students for 5 years post-graduation. This is yet to be fully implemented in England, but represents a huge new burden for institutions. My crude estimate is that this will cost the English sector significantly more than £500 million in terms of start-up and ongoing implementation over the next 5 years. Number two, end the Teaching Excellence Framework, or TEF. The TEF is in reality of no interest to prospective students. Very few of whom ever cite it as a factor in their decision-making. Additionally, unlike the original TEF proposals, it carries no funding implications, but rather it is a costly and unnecessary exercise, both for institutions and the regulator. While some will argue that the TEF serves as an incentive to institutions to improve quality, it is actually a crude, blunt and costly instrument to achieve limited enhancements, which should happen anyway. Number three. There is a need to reduce government interference in the routine operation of the framework and return to the previous norm of just a single letter a year from the Secretary of State setting out priorities for the regulator. Between 2018 and 2023, the OFS received 25 letters, 25, from Secretaries of State conveying a range of instructions, which have undoubtedly contributed to the changing priorities of the regulator and added to the regulatory burden. Number four, the OFS should follow the regulator's code more closely rather than merely having regard to it for policy matters. The agency should aim to follow the best practice set in the regulator's code for both policy and procedures and seek to operate in line with best practice for effective regulation. Really, we need a complete revamp to enable a genuinely risk-based model which recognises quality and accepts the means by which academic standards are best assured. Number five, free speech. New legislation on free speech and academic freedom has resulted in the development of a new swathe of OFS regulations. Initial requirements relate to establishing a complaints procedure and a code of practice from August 2024, with further compliance arrangements to follow. Whilst all universities already have some of these procedures in place in order to comply with the 1986 and 1994 Acts, the new requirements go significantly further and will entail significant additional burden. It's hard to quantify this impact exactly, but given the scale of the demands, it is to be expected that the approximate impact across higher education in England, once fully implemented, will be maybe a little less than the B4 requirements, i.e. of the order of £50 million per annum, so pretty pricey. Related to this, the latest regulatory package about to be added to the pile is a set of new directions around dealing with harassment. Not just regulations on sexual harassment and misconduct and staff-student relationships, which the UFS has been consulting on for a while, but now with the prospect of an additional condition of registration which links harassment and free speech. This is a response to current campus protests and does look a bit like something of a knee-jerk, and it's hard to see how it's going to work in practice. Beyond the UFS regime, covered in those five areas, there are other regulatory activities which should also be considered for reform in order to deliver savings. So number six on the list is the Research Excellence Framework, or REF. The principal purpose of the periodic REF is to assess the quality and impact of UK universities' research activity. It is an exceptionally resource-intensive activity, and for both individual academic staff and universities, feels like an assessment where the stakes are very high indeed. However, in the interest of saving money and effort, the next REF could be postponed for at least several years, from 2029 to, say, 2033, with no negative impact on universities or their research. A conservative estimate of the cost of the last REF in 2021 was produced by UKRI and came in at £471 million. That's about 50% higher for institutions than it was in 2014. Assuming a similar increase in cost, the savings within the next five-year period could therefore be safely assumed to be the order of £700 million. That's money worth saving. Number seven, the Knowledge Exchange Framework, or KEF. The KEF should be scrapped as it really adds very little value to the sector for a great deal of work. An alternative and more cost-effective formula for distribution of relevant funds can then be identified at very low cost. Number eight, the burden of excessive and overlapping data collection from universities has to be addressed. This spans every aspect of university operations, from estates to research, and from student numbers to spin-outs, making it an extremely complicated and confusing landscape. Attempts have been made to rationalise this before with limited success. We therefore need an expansive and empowered task force with a bold target, ideally to reduce the cost of the data burden on institutions by a significant proportion. Number nine, universities need to avoid gold-plating their own processes. As a first step in addressing sector-developed self-regulation, it's time to call a halt to the external examiner system, I'd suggest. Whilst external examining has served the sector well over more than a century, it's no longer fit for purpose for a mass system. Institutions cling to it, but external examining is an anomaly internationally and has limited efficacy and value in terms of assuring standards in a very different HE system. Number 10, removing universities from the requirements of the Freedom of Information Act would reduce the excessive burden this imposes across institutions and would certainly deliver some savings of note. There would have to be a quid pro quo for this, though, in terms of an expanded obligation on universities to publish annually a more extensive data set on information of most interest to government and stakeholders on everything from harassment statistics to senior manager expenses, but changing the FOI requirement would save a great deal of money. So all in all, these 10 points are a decent set of changes to be starting with, I think. These would be helpful steps and would enable universities to save money to invest in core activities at a time of significant financial challenge. One other thing to note. Morehouse Consulting, on behalf of Universities UK, recently produced an extremely insightful report which included a sector survey of the cost and burden of different aspects of the OFS regulatory regime. And among other things, the report noted that the resources required to understand and meet regulatory requirements were significant, as were the opportunity costs of the regulatory burden. And in terms of assessing the direct cost of the regulatory regime, Morehouse collected data on the number of staff involved. This came to over 2,000 senior staff, FTE, across England's universities, and the total cost of this will be the order of £150 to £200 million per annum. Of course, some of this will remain necessary, but there is major scope for savings and redeployment here. So if we add all these things together, the total cost is very significant, running to hundreds of millions of pounds a year, and government should be aiming to target savings in reducing this burden. And in my view, at very least, the aim should be to reduce by a third, or even half the regulatory cost for institutions. The work on reducing the burden, which would free up at least some really valuable resource across the sector, can start at once. It doesn't require new legislation, no new regulations have to be drafted. Rather, it's about an attitude which recognises the importance of trust, institutional autonomy, the professionalism of staff, and the determination to be open and transparent where faults are found. All of this will save a great deal of money, desperately needed resource for institutions, and help to re-establish the confidence of all stakeholders in the quality of the UK's higher education system. So these changes would save hundreds of millions a year, and that's hundreds of millions which can be spent by universities on continuing to support our students and deliver world-class research. So there you have it, a very personal view from me on how we could cut significantly the regulatory burden, make everyone feel better, and save a great deal of money too. That was the latest Registrarologue then. I do hope you enjoyed that wee bit of bonus content. There are others available here too, and plenty more podcasts in the back catalogue and on the way in future. Thank you for listening.